Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tiago Loureiro. Thank you all for attending this talk. Okay. I'm going to talk about letting it flow. What to do and what not to do in indie publishing. And again, always take what I say with a grain of salt. This is my experience. Like, even though I may be here for quite some time in the industry, it's just my view. Please try it. These are just advices. If you don't agree with anything, just screw it. Do it your own way, okay? But first, something awesome. Let it flow, come on, I had to do this. Yeah. But now, for something completely different. The way that I envision these advices that I'm here to give you, these best practices in terms of indie dev publishing, I choose to place them under three different categories. You, choices that you make, it. What is it? What is that thing that you're thriving to get and that really ticks you to be here, to be listening to me talking about letting it flow. And I'm going to start with the most important part, I guess, which is you. And I'm going to start with a secret. Well, it's not actually a secret, but we're all going to die. Yeah, true, it's true. And don't just take my word for it. Ask Google. You can try it. And before I get back to this, don't forget what I just said. Yes, this is important. Do you love your job? Well, there was a study made by some smart people, I hope. You probably don't read it very well, but it's a 2014 survey of 1,042 college-educated American workers. You can read it all on shanesnow.com/smartcuts. And the question was, did you end up in your dream career? Well, most of the persons answered no. And this is preoccupying, at least to me, because it means that out of those 1,042 persons, 85 of them are not happy with their lives, at least with the greater part of their lives, because they'll probably spend a lot of time on their work, sometimes sleeping, and they have like, what, 3-4 hours a day of fun or commuting. And even more impressive are these figures. Well, could you switch careers if you wanted? Well, 23% answered yes. So, okay. 14.38 said no. Okay, they probably have their own reasons. But what about the rest of them? 58.16% answer, I don't know, it would be difficult. And 4.51% answered, I could, but it would disappoint someone. These, for me, are the worst part, because these are preoccupying as well. It means that people are not following their dreams out of fear. And here, particularly out of fear of disappointing others. So fear is actually what is keeping people from following their dream jobs or their dream careers or doing what they actually want to do with their lives. Getting back to the first one, this I heard, well, I heard something similar to this on a talk by Steve Jobs on Stanford University, which was, if this was the last day of your life, would you do next what you are about to do? If you know that you're going to die that day, and we are all going to die someday, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a couple of decades, hopefully, we have games to make. But what if you really knew and you accepted the fact that you're going to die? How would you spend that last day or those last days? Would you still be going to the job you don't like, doing the shit that you hate to do, putting up with people that you couldn't care less? I think probably not. You probably spend with your loved ones, you probably spend doing the things you like to do, whether it be playing games, reading books, playing music, painting, whatever. And you'd probably be good at it. And then you'd probably think, fuck, why haven't I done this earlier? Why did it took me so much time to realize that fear is keeping me wherever I was? And according to this study, which Serious Cat approves, most persons will say that, oh, but I need the money. Yeah, you do need the money. Because right now we live in a society that depends on money. Yeah, that's a nice way to control it. But that's true. So someone have to play this game. But what if money was no object? And this was asked by another very brilliant gentleman called Alan Watts, a British philosopher that went to live in the US. He asked this question to his students. What if money was no object? What would you do? And they would respond, I'd be a painter, I'd be a musician, I'd write poetry, I'd write books. So why don't you do that? Oh, you know, I have to be a lawyer to make money to be able to do that stuff. Well, it's not entirely true. Because in the end, if you're good at something, if you're good and passionate about something, you will end up making money out of it. Trust me. Yeah, there's a sports company that keeps stealing this message from me. Just do it. And the fact that you're actually here, it's a good start. It doesn't have to be all in the same day. You don't have to quit your job and move to some place, I don't know. No, you can take baby steps. You still have some time, hopefully. But you have to do it. You have to say to yourself, I want to do this. And by taking actions that go with that mindset, it's the first step for success. So congratulations to you all for being here. which is a really first good step. Moving on to choices. Always choose to be yourself. In my professional experience, I've had my fair share of achievements and learning processes. In the past, I tried to do stuff and I wasn't being myself. So it didn't succeed. I now see that. I now see that I was trying to play some other person's game. That's a metaphor. And by doing that, I lost focus on myself. And I couldn't let it flow. So things didn't happen, by the way. So remember, always choose to be yourself. And remember this as well. This is becoming a jargon now. I sometimes open LinkedIn and this is pretty much everywhere. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Your corporate culture, or whatever you want to call it, it's more important than everything else. If you have a team that works together and works well, don't try to change it. You need to adhere to those core values that make that team as awesome as it is. Don't try to change it because it's not corporate, because, well, you may disappoint someone, because you're no longer 20 or 30 or whatever, because you've grown past it. No, don't do it. Just think, what really differentiates me from everyone else? What differentiates my team from everyone else? And stick with it. Because in the end, that's what will matter. And now let's make this a bit interactive. Imagine that you have, and I do apologize for my voice because a couple of days I couldn't even speak. But let's just think that you have a great team with a great culture. But you need someone else. And you're trying to hire someone else. So I'm going to give you three different scenarios, three different applicants that you receive their resumes. So you do some backtrack and you come up with the following conclusions. Candidate one, a great student, awesome design notions, and a charismatic speaker. Candidate two, college dropout, LSD aficionado, and the asshole used to park in handicapped areas. What a dick. Applicant number three, has the reputation of being distant to others, interrupts others saying, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard," and was arrested once for a traffic violation. Which one would you hire? Who here would hire applicant A? Okay. Cool. B. Okay. I said B, it was two. Three. Makes sense. So, will all those in favor of applicant one raise their hands again, please? Congratulations. No, but keep your hands up. You just hired a great leader. Drum roll. This man was a, as we know, a great student, charismatic speaker, and he helped Hugo Boss design all the army uniform, not just the army, I don't know, everything for the Third Reich. He also was a great enthusiastic of the Volkswagen Beetle and gave his opinion on the design. So congratulations, but you will lose eventually. And he'll kill himself. So that's not good for PR. Candidate number two, hands up please. It's not Mussolini. Steve Jobs. Again, I'm not here to judge, not to make any fundaments. I'm just speaking on the core information that I'm accessing and saying, trying to get a hold of your choices. And I'm probably the first person to display Steve Jobs on Microsoft. Candidate number three. Where's Miguel? Miguel left. Okay, raise your hand. Who do you think he is? Exactly. Bill Gates. I had to put him after Steve Jobs came out. And since this is being recorded, everyone will say, oh, the nasty Nazi game developer trying to evangelize the young game developers to his Nazi party. Oh. What does this mean? Doesn't mean nothing. Just means that probably sometimes things are not as they appear to be. And that's the only point I want to prove. I'm not judging that that one, two, or three is better than the others. There may be some consensus over some, but that is not the point of this exercise. My exercise here is just to say that sometimes things are not what they seem. And that's why, in case of doubt, always trust this culture, which in the end will be the most important part of your professional experience. And always be out there. Always choose to be out there. Because if you don't make yourself heard, no one will do it for you. You can be the best professional in the world. You can have the brightest idea. You can have the biggest message to send to the world. But if no one hears it, then what's the point? Was it worth it? Or is it worth like thinking about doing or even starting doing but then not showing it to the world? No one will do it for you. You have to do it yourself. It, not IT. It. What is it? What is the thing that makes you tick every day when you think about it? What is it that makes you think that you could actually leave your day job? Whether it's an underpaid, I don't know, sweatshop work or an overpaid sweatshop work. Whatever it is, you have to find it. You have to ask yourself, what is it? What do I want to do? What is it that differentiates itself from everything else? What do I want to do? That is one of the key questions. Do you actually believe in it? You know what it is, but do you actually believe in it? Do you believe that it has potential? And do you believe that it can strive in a market? Do you believe that it is something? That's also a very important question to make. Do you love it? It's very important because you'll be doing it for the rest of your life, probably. Or at least we like to think so, or at least for a couple of years. Do you love it? Because unless you love it, if you don't actually love it, it's just cool at the moment, or it gives money. It could work, but then the whole purpose wouldn't be your happiness, but the money or whatever, fame or whatever it brings to you. So do you love it? It's a really important question. Do you love making games? That's the question that you want to make yourselves. Do you see yourself doing it for the next couple of years? Do you see yourself making games, painting, writing a book, doing it that you love so much? That you already found what it is, and now you're going to have to work on it because no one else will do it for you. Do you see yourself doing it for the next couple of years? There will be ups and downs. There always is. It's part of the path. So it is very important to see yourself doing it for the next couple of years. And saying, okay, yes, I want to do it. And will you enjoy doing it? Yeah, I can see myself doing it, but I'll hate it. No. You'll have to enjoy it, because if you don't enjoy it, you'll go mad. And then it's not a sane thing to do. It's like a drug. You'll be doing it because you have to do it, and because you have failed to learn to live without it. And it becomes an obsession rather than the natural source of your own love for it. So will you enjoy doing it for the next couple of years? What is it for these guys? Who knows who these guys are? This is a game called Yearwalk by a Swedish company called Simogo. Two men in the studio in Malmö, Sweden. This game was released in 2013, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's 2013. Released for mobile, iOS only, a price point of $2.99. And after the release, on May, it had sold over 300,000 copies. Two Man Studio, $2.99. Take 30% off for Apple. It makes a decent amount of money. So what did they do it? What did they do? And why did they do it? Why did they do it, yeah. They wanted to make for some years now, because they released three games, I think, before this one. And they wanted to make a game about Swedish folklore with a real film noir German expressionist outlook. So that was it for them. That was it. They wanted to do this same thing. They loved it. That's what they wanted to do. And they did see themselves doing it for 2 years. And they did it, and they released it. And it was a success. Won a lot of awards. Even this year at Nordic Game, they still won an award for Yearwalk, which is impressive. impressive. After, in the past year, they also won a similar award for it. So they found it, and they did it. Show it. If you keep it in your drawer, in your computer, on a pen drive, in the cloud, but only for yourself, won't do you much good. You need to show it. You need to be showing to others, showing the awesomeness that you can make, showing that you have, in fact, a product that you love and that you want to put out there. Like, let me give you a personal example on this. I've been involved in 3 different crowdfunding campaigns. 2 of them were successful. I'm sorry, 2 were unsuccessful, and 1 was successful. So I started the first on Kickstarter. It was somewhat above average budget. Iconic brand, iconic names. Hey, what could go wrong? Everything. It failed to meet its mark. So it didn't get funded. And we're like, what? How can this be? You looked again and saw it and said, okay, no, let's reevaluate this. It was at the same time that I was on Nordic Game. This was 2013. So I started showing it to people. So we did the second campaign and we actually made it. And by that time I thought, oh, I know all about crowdfunding. And then I did the third and it failed. So I hadn't learned all about crowdfunding. And most of the times when you do something that you require your audience immediate attention, and when that doesn't happen, it's because you're not doing this enough, nor this. It's not just showing, it's promoting it. It's getting your audience and saying, okay, I have this. Want to help me do this? I can give you that if you help me do it. It's very important to promote it and sell it. Because if you don't have a good sales pitch, means that probably you don't love it enough, or you don't want to do it enough, or you don't know much about it in order to sell your idea to someone else. You need that every time. Think about your product, about the things that you love, games, books, art, whatever, and sell it. And I don't mean like conning people. I mean like selling from your heart. I guess that's what sells. Believing in the product, believing it. And then comes that moment when you've done everything and you don't know what will happen. You just have to trust it. You have to trust that everything that you've done before will have some gain in the end. But please make sure you enjoy it. In the end, you enjoy the product like you enjoyed the ride. Because happiness will not come as soon as you launch the game or finish the painting. Happiness must happen every day that you're programming, you're doing the art for it, you're doing soundtrack, sound effects, you're writing the book, you're doing whatever. It's an everyday thing. It's not just a destination. No, it's a journey. You really have to love it to make it work. And here comes the MacGuffin. The most important piece of advice from this presentation. Drum roll. if it doesn't work, fuck it. It's not you. You have been doing something. But that something, that same something, it doesn't define you. It didn't work. So what? Try another thing. Try another day. The most important slide. And thank you for being here after lunch and after, for those like me who are in the dev talk, after 1.5 hours of hearing about the cloud. Thank you for being here.